ahead and have a seat. We are in this series called Greater, and we've been walking through this idea of how does God enlarge our capacity? All right, so we start with some capacity. We start with some, we can do some things, but God is a God of, the word we can use is sanctification. God is a God of change. God is a God, although he does not change, God is a God who produces change in our life. He is producing more. He's doing something in us. And so we've been kind of walking through this series of how does God sanctify us? How does God work in our lives? How does God enlarge our capacity? Because we want more of something. You know, our world, our culture, you know, if you watch commercials or anything, you get this picture of that you never have enough. You need more. You're trying to get more. And we have this idea that the answer is more. And there's some truth there and there's some false there. There's some things that God wants to do more in our lives, but there's also the truth of all that you need, you already have. And so we're gonna walk through this. This message this morning is really more of a remix of a message I do very often. Does that make sense? So sometimes you can give new information, or you can keep giving the same information in new ways, or try to do it in new ways because it's so important, it's so critical. Like this is the central message of Scripture. So if you're looking at your capacity, you're like, all right, so you have your list of places that you want to enlarge your capacity, right? Places that you want to grow in. All right, so if you had your list, maybe you want to grow at work. You're like, man, if I could just expand my capacity, if I could become a better leader, if I could become more technical in my proficient in my realm, if I could do this, if I could just enlarge my capacity, if I could enlarge my capacity in my finances, if I could just figure out how to run it better, I would be much better off. If I could just enlarge my capacity as a parent, right? I mean, if I could just get better at this, we would be better off. If I could enlarge my capacity as a husband or wife, we would be better off. If I could just grow in these areas, and you could pick the areas that you want. And so there are really two parts to what we were going to try to do with this greater concept. As we're trying to enlarge who we are. One is, many of you are in a situation right now that seems very big. Like you're like, you know, when you're far away from something, it seems small. Like when you're like the boat out in the sea and you're on the beach and you're just looking out there, it seems very small. But when you're in the middle of a tough thing, it seems very big, right? When you're looking at the mountain you have to climb, you're like, man, this is huge. I don't know if I can do it. Part of what we're talking about is how do we enlarge our capacity to get over the mountain? How do we deal with these tough things? Rather than be crushed by tough circumstances, how do we use the circumstances to enlarge what God is doing in our life so that we can be greater at who he wants us to be? Does that make sense? And so that's one part of it. Some of you are facing some tough things and you're like, how do I become greater in this situation? How do I get on top of this? How do I walk through this? And this morning, what we're talking about is partly how do we enlarge ourselves so we can get on top of these tough things? The second part is just in life, in those areas that you want to grow in. How do we get large? So we're going to spend some time in John in two scriptures. One is in John chapter 1, verse 50 is where we're going to end up. And obviously John is a gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is the story of Jesus. And John is written so that everyone can believe in who he is and that they can come to this idea of eternal life. John's like, I want you to experience abundant life. I want you to experience greater. I want you to experience this word, eternal life or abundant life, flows throughout all of the book of John. If you read through the book of John, you'll see this phrase over and over and over again, this idea of life and this idea of God wants to do something greater. So John chapter 1 is obviously the first chapter. So it's in the beginning. And so Jesus is talking to these soon-to-be disciples, these soon-to-be followers, some people who have questions. They are kind of just living their life as fishermen or tax collectors. And so he comes along and he starts talking to them about this idea of following. So verse 43 says, and we're not going to be on the screen, but verse 43 says this: the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. This is the main concept of the first chapter of John. He's looking at these soon-to-be disciples and says, I want to give you a choice. Whether you follow me or not. Listen, I want you to follow me. I want you to walk with me through life. I want to do life with you. I want you to decide to have me as your leader, as someone that's worth following. I want you to come with me. And so they have to answer the question, is he worth following? Right? That's the question. And even more than that, is all this other stuff worth leaving to follow him? So the key question is, who is he? And so this is what he says later in John chapter 1, verse 50. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. He's talking to Nathanael and says, listen, I kind of told you where you were, and you're kind of following me because of that. But then listen to this next phrase. You will see greater things than that. You will see greater things. You know, I don't know what, as you walk through life, what great things you've seen. This last week, we saw some not so great things and some great things. Some of you may have had water in places that you do not want water. And then there's other times that you watch the waterfalls flowing in different areas and you're like almost wowed by the power of the waterfalls. Or maybe you saw a sunrise or something. You ever been wowed by something that you saw? Like, isn't part of life just this idea of walking through just being wowed by things? You know, and I hope that there are some things that wow you, that like excite you, right? That you see. This is what Jesus says. He says, I want you to see greater things. This is our series, Greater. He says, I don't want you to have to go to the Grand Canyon to see greater things. I don't want you to go to the movies to see greater things. I don't want you to go to Disney World to see greater things. But I want you to see greater things than even what you've seen so far. Do you ever realize that Jesus, as we're in this idea of enlarging our capacity, wants you to see greater things? Wants you to experience greater things? And we're going to get back into this scripture, but I want to jump over to the other one. But there are some ways that we get to experience or see greater things. Let me jump over to John chapter 14. Now this is 3.5 years later or so. And so the disciples said, yeah, we want to see greater things. So they start following him and they start seeing greater things, right? They saw the water to wine. They saw a deaf man who was healed. They saw Lazarus raised from the dead. They saw the feeding of the 5,000. They saw Jesus walking across water. They saw incredible things because they were with Jesus. So this is like 3.5 years later after they've seen all these things and they're wowed by Jesus. And if you read any of the Gospels, really, there's this way of whenever you see Jesus do something, there's always a wow factor. Like, if you really see Jesus, you should be amazed because of what he does, because he does amazing things. So 3.5 years later, they have followed him, and now he's getting to the last night of his life. On the night he's betrayed, on the night that he's arrested, on the night he will be put on trial, on the night that he's going to be, the next day he's going to be crucified, the last night he spends with them. In fact, he says, I eagerly desire to eat this meal with you. I'm excited about this meal because I have some things to tell you. And from chapter 13 to about 17, he has this kind of like intimate moment with his disciples. All right, so if you know you're going to die, you're going to set some time aside with the people that you love, and you're going to share some important things with them. So then, if you want to read some important things that Jesus has to say to his disciples, read John 13 to 17. All right, critical scriptures. I mean, if you want to know what God has planned for us, read those read all of scripture, but make sure you know those five chapters. So he gets to John chapter 14. And verses 12 through 14 says this. Verily, verily, I tell you. He says, okay, I don't know what the modern term is. I'm telling you the truth. This is the way he says, like, listen to this. I'm not lying to you. This is important. Verily, verily, I say and I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And here's the phrase. And they will do even greater things than these. Yeah, why don't we wrestle with that one a little bit? Is it on the screen? Think about that for a second. Jesus has done great things. Yes? True? I mean, if you believe the Gospels, if you believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he has done incredible things. I mean, things that we can't do, won't do. But he has this phrase in here. He's talking to his disciples, and I think he's talking to us because it says, whoever believes, whoever, that's an open invitation. It's not to the people sitting there, but it extends to more people. He says, they will do even greater things than these. You understand, enlarging your capacity, becoming greater, and that's basically how I got to this message was looking up greater. How did Jesus use the word greater? And he comes away with this last night of his life. He's telling disciples, hey, listen, I'm going away, but God has greater things planned for you than what I was able to. So you're like, does that not strike you the wrong way? Like, how is that even possible? How can we do greater things than Jesus? And the answer will be, or is, that I don't think we can do greater things. Like, we can't heal the sick, or at least we can't raise the dead. We haven't raised the dead. But on the amount, the largeness of it, we can't. But on the wideness of it, we can. Because listen, what his mission was. His mission was what? To seek and save that which was lost. Yes? That was his mission. The work that he was called to do was to seek and save that which was, to give his life as a ransom. Our capacity to fulfill his mission is, we can fulfill that greater than he did because he only had 3 years of ministry and he only dealt with 12 people. Does it make sense? But he says, I want you to do greater things. You have the capacity to make a greater impact. I want to do greater. There's a central part to, if we want to see greater and if we want to do greater, there is a central part of what needs to happen in order for us to walk in those two things. And maybe the best way to say it is, years ago, there's this guy named Michael Jordan. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a basketball player. He was fairly good. He won like 6 championships and multiple MVPs. And one game, I might get the details wrong, so don't hold me, but one game in the NBA Finals, he scored 69 points. All right, so the highest scoring that he's ever had in a championship, in a finals game. And so one of his teammates, Stacey King, comes up to the mic and basically says, yeah, we played really well. We scored 70 points together, Michael and I. You know, he scored 1 point. Here's the principle. If we want to see greater things, if we want to do greater things, don't we need to be around someone who does great things? Does that make sense? Like, the closer we are to Jesus, the greater our capacity is. The more intimate we are with Christ, the more we walk with him, the greater things that he can do in and through us. If we want to see enlarge our capacity in any area of our life, the key to it is connecting more into who Jesus is. To know him relationally, to walk with him. If you want to see or do great things in your life, it's not by trying harder. It's not by filling your things with time management skills and filling your things with books to read. The key, the central key is this, that we walk with Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John is basically a story of people walking with Jesus. Let me start with this by saying, I'm a math kind of person, and so there's like a lot of sometimes math that we talk about. But this is an important math detail. God is greater, and then you can fill in the blank. That's a truth. God is greater than any issue you're facing right now. And we can even do a true or false. True. God is greater than any problem our world is facing. True. God is greater. You can fill in whatever you want after that. So God is greater. God's wisdom is greater than our wisdom. So we have a path. we think we want to take through a problem. God's wisdom is greater than that. In fact, 1 Corinthians even goes into it a little deeper. Paul says, man's wisdom is less than God's stupidity. God's not stupid, but his worst idea ever, God's, okay? If God had a bad idea, all right, man's greatest idea can't come close. Paul's comparing. Like, our wisdom is so less than God's. Our power is so much less than God's. God's power is greater than anything that we can see or experience. I mean, to sit in that for a moment, because you're here, all right, and you're at church, and so you know that this is not news to you. This is not like a light bulb going off, and you're like, I never heard that before. God being greater than, but to know it and to live it is two different things. To believe that God is greater than anything you're experiencing, anything you're facing. God is greater than your financial need. God is greater than your work problems. God is greater than your emotional struggles that you have. If you can just hang on to one theological point, it'd be like, God's greater than anything. Do you know what that also means? God plus me is greater than anything. Yeah? I mean, and I'm going to tell you, we're just the plus one. We're just the one point. We're not even a point in that whole formula. Like, we're just a carry-on. We're just like a tag-along to God. When we tag along to God, we're greater than anything that we can face. Listen to what it says, and I think it's 1 John 4:4. He says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, right? So here's the math formula. God is greater than anything else you face. Why start there? Because most of us start from the other side of the formula. We look at ourselves. We look at our issues. We look at our struggles. We look at what we're facing. We're looking down here. And I don't think we should be man-centric. I think we should be God-centric. God is greater. So let me go on to point two, because we can pause there. But I think Jesus had a further thing he wanted to say. So if God is greater, then number two is this: the more I follow Jesus, the more I see great things. Do you ever have a friend who, like, everything happens to them? Like, they walk through the airport and they sit next to, like, a famous person. They're, like, in line and they get bumped and they miss their flight by a half an hour and they get, like, three free tickets to Hawaii. You ever have friends like that? And you're like, I just need to sit near you because everything happens to you. I have a person I'm thinking of that has that kind of life. You know, it's like, yeah, I was walking the golf course and a famous golfer wanted to golf with me. You know, those sort of things. It's like, that doesn't happen to me. You know, I end up sitting next to the person who's drooling on my shoulder at the airport and I still get bumped and I have to sleep in the airport overnight in Newark. And then I have, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like struggling that way. But all I'm saying is sometimes we need to be around someone, just be around those people is cool. Like, you see great things happen around people like that. If we hang around Jesus, we get to see great things happen. And if great things aren't happening, I'm wondering if Jesus isn't there yet or something, or something's not happening right. Because where God is, great things happen. And I think sometimes we get mixed up in, like, great things being, like, all our prayers being answered the way we want them to. I think God shows up in great ways, small and big. Sometimes we miss the small, but the little ways that, like, I was telling Gina, this, we had a little bit of water in our basement, which is not compared to a lot of people what they had, and I was just talking to her about, you know, God was still pretty good to us. You know, my wife had a yard sale. We made $35 at a yard sale, you know, and so all the stuff's in the garage. I'm like, Gina, all that stuff could have been in the basement. You know, and we caught it early. You know, and we're just walking through the ways God. It's just little things, but don't you see? God shows up those times, those ways. Say, hey, I'm still here. Yeah, there's water in your basement. It's water. You know, it could be a whole lot worse. You know, God shows up in little, and sometimes you stand around, you're like, show up in big ways. You ever, I'm standing at the waterfalls at Havana Glen baptizing people. I'm like, to me, there's nothing great. I love that. That's what drives my, that's like gets me excited about doing the next year of ministry is wait until next July when I get to do this all again to celebrate life changed. Like God's showing up in someone's life. You know, I get emails and I get to hear how God's showing up in people's lives. And I'm like, this is why I just want to be around Jesus because that's where life change happens. I want to keep following him and doing what he's doing because that's where crazy things happen. Let me just say, crazy things happen around Jesus. And by the way, did you know that he had no place to lay his head? That's what he says. People are trying to follow him. Like, I want to follow you, Jesus. He's like, yeah, do you know that I don't even have a house? Do you know what it means? It's not like everything's like placed in order for the next 10 years. It's a day-by-day following, and you're like looking for the next way he's showing up. If we want to see great things, we don't need to go to Disney World. We just need to get closer to Jesus. We've done mission trips overseas this year. I look at Al. That's why I kind of hit this point a little bit. You know, and I got to go to Dominican Republic. I'm just saying that we were following Jesus on these trips. And we got to see God do great things there. And it's kind of like one of those circles that keep going around and around. Because the more you follow him and the more you see great things, the more you want more of it. You can't get enough. It's like eating at a good meal. You know, you just want more. Thanksgiving meal. You're like, I am stuffed, but I want seconds. I just want more. And then you're like, man, I want leftovers. I just want more. And that's as we follow Jesus, the more we stay connected to him, the more we want more. We should want more. And here, if you're wondering why, if you're wrestling with why you're maybe not seeing Jesus do, you're not seeing him do more, is it possible that you're more wrapped up in religion than you are in following Jesus? Does that make sense? There's a difference between the two, and I want you to know, following Jesus is different than following rules. Following Jesus is different than lining up and looking like a Christian on the political spectrum. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with rules. It has everything to do with a person. He says, come follow me. And the more you follow him, the more you see. Let me just give you the next point, one. The word is believe that he uses in John chapter, let me read it again, John 14, verse 12. It says, verily, verily, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. This is what he said. This is the parameter. This is what he says. If you believe in me and you do the works that he is doing. So basically he's saying, if you not just check off the quiz of belief, but you're like, man, I trust you. I place my life in your hand. I believe it. Now, you ever heard, there's a book that came out, Christian Atheist. I forget who wrote it. Some of you may have read it. But he talks about this idea of there are a lot of people who can check their theological boxes, but by their life, they say that they don't believe it. That's a Christian atheist. You know theologically all the right details, but when it comes to like living it out, you don't believe what you check in the box. And what he's saying, when he says believe, is not checking the box. It's saying, I'm living this out. I believe that God is greater. That's what I believe. Check. And now I live my life in this sort of way because I believe that he is greater, which means that when he asks me to risk, I risk. When he asks me to step, I step. When he asks me to go, I go. When he asks me to stay, I stay. I am just following and believing and trusting that he's going to do greater things in my life. He's going to enlarge my capacity because I'm going to follow him. I'm trusting in him. And then it says, and even do the works that he is doing. So what? This is the remix, right? So how do we stay close to Christ? How do we follow him? We do this. This is the practical side. This is what we do here, try to encourage people. We have this 5 for 5 by 5 that we've been doing since January. We're just reading one chapter a day. And you may be new with us, and you're like, I never heard of that. In the bulletin every week is on the back side of the notes are five chapters to read. And we just, the more we spend time in God's word, the more we root ourselves in him, the more we know him, and the more we can hear him, what he's saying in life. So we need to spend time in God's word. We need to talk to him. Well, not just pray, not just do a prayer, but talk to our God that we're following. We need to make prayer a bigger part of our life, like praying on the way to work. This idea of breath prayers, you ever heard of this idea of breath prayers? It's kind of like a simple prayer. It's a sentence prayer of like almost breathing, reminding ourselves that God is with us. And you're just praying. It's almost like praying the same thing all day, the same phrase. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. God, I, you know, it's like a breath prayer is not like a long prayer. A breath prayer is like, this is the phrase, this is what I'm praying today. This is what I want to live out today. This is what I'm asking you to help me with today. One sentence. Another way you could do breath prayer is by praying out the doubt and struggle, whatever. You're like, out, and then inviting God, I just want your presence. I want you to fill me. I want you to walk with me. That's called a breath prayer. And we have all these kind of like disciplines or ways that we get to connect deeper into Christ. We have this picture out in the hall. It's a picture of a tree. And it's not there just because we like the picture, because it's important to what we believe as a church, what I believe as a pastor, what I believe personally, that the most important part of the tree, although everything that's seen up top, you know, all the fruit and all the things that we do and all the success that we may have or any all the things that people see is up top, but the most important part of the tree are the roots. You can have a tree that grows too fast, too far, and once the storm hits, it's going to collapse because its root system is not strong. But if you can root yourself in Christ, God can enlarge your capacity on top of the tree. That's what we're talking about this morning. If you want to enlarge your capacity, this is a simple message in a lot of ways. If you want to enlarge your capacity, you could have a leader in your church pouring into you, or a leader in your life pouring. That is going to enlarge. We talked about that last week. It's going to enlarge your capacity. But if you're not abiding in Christ, it doesn't work. You can have a proper view of struggle, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, that God wants to use hardship in our life sometimes to grow us, to larger, and you can, but if you're not connected to Christ, it doesn't work. Well, what I'm saying is that it's pretty simple. That's what I love about the Bible, even though theologians can wrestle with it a lot of times, it's pretty. We stay connected to Christ. We abide in him. We enlarge our capacity. The more we rest in him, the more he grows us. The more we know him, the more he expands us. You want to be a better parent? Rest in Christ. Abide in Christ. If you want to be a better husband, get your direction from Christ. If you want to be a better, more proficient at work, get your direction from Christ. Listen to him. Because God is greater. And all we're really asking is to get as close as you can to him because he is greater. Does it make sense? Like if you want to be on the winning side, join him. He'll score 69 and we only have to like show up. And we get to see and experience God's great things. And this morning what we're going to do is we're going to invite you to come up in the middle aisles and take the bread and the cup in your hand and kind of return to your seats and hold it for a little bit. And I like to celebrate communion in different ways because it has so much meaning to it. And this morning, how we want to take it is I want you to hold it and just realize that it's through his death and his blood, his body and his blood, that we can ever experience greater. That he is greater. That he died for us so we can experience greater. That he is the pathway to greater. Here's maybe this is the way we want to kind of celebrate it is The Bible says you have been given fullness in Christ. You have been given fullness in Christ. It's a gift that you, and in this bread and this cup this morning, what we're celebrating is that you've been given fullness in Christ. You've been given greater in Christ. That you don't need books right now. You don't need other things. You don't need a mentor right now. You know, all those things are good things, and God puts those in our life at a season and a time. But he wants you to be abiding in him, and he wants to give you fullness through him. And as we take the bread and the cup, I hope that you just hold it for a second, pray over it, celebrate what he's done in your life. And then whenever you're ready, go ahead and take the bread and the cup, celebrating the body that was broken for you and the cup that was shed for you. So let's pray over the bread and the cup this morning as we take it. Heavenly Father, as we come before the table, these simple objects, the object of bread that we eat every day, and you take this bread in the last night of your life, the day you're talking about this idea of greater, and you give it to your disciples and remind them that this is what we do to remember you, to remind us to stay close to you, to remind us that your body was broken for us, that the reason we can do greater is because you sacrificed your life for us. And so we take this bread and we take it to remember you. God, this cup that was at the table the last night of your life, and you took it and showed it to your intimate friends there, and you told them to drink it to remember you, to remember what you've done, what you are doing, and what you're going to do. So this morning we take it to remember you. God, we ask a blessing over this cup and this bread. We ask that we are in the right place to receive it. We confess to you that we do drift from you, that we do need you, and we want more of you. God, we want to stay close to you, and so we take this in celebration of what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship, and you come up and take the bread and the cup.
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of are just so thankful that you, again, are just greater than all the things in this world. Lord, we just want to follow after you, and we want to be firm in our foundation with you. Lord, we just want to walk intimately with you and follow your spirit. God, when we seek you, everything changes. We see greater things. We see life change happen in front of us. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand and worship with us?